This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, Veggies.
Hi, Dad. Dad.
Do you want to have a swing in the hammock?
Yeah, be up.
Now, Dad.
Dad. I want a big swing.
I want a big swing.
Sure.
Can I know what's in the bigger swing?
Can I have another swing and a bigger swing? Absolutely. How does swinging make you feel?
Happy.
Oh, that's great. Do you want to do some more?
Yes.
I'm Fiona.
I'm Travis.
And that's Patch. Patch is 9. He's a remarkable, gorgeous boy, and we are so lucky to be his mum and dad.
We are certain you're going to fall in love with him as you get to know him.
Patch is autistic. He loves to jump. He's always on the move. Music, swimming, and bushwalking are his favourite things. He has a unique ability to connect with people.
And it's the most beautiful experience watching him grow and learn about the world. Speaking isn't easy for Patch, and it's just one of the ways he communicates. His ability to talk is limited to short phrases and a set group of words.
Sometimes it can feel lonely in our little family, like no one understands our reality. Why the hard times are so tough and the good times are so phenomenal. We have so many questions about how to teach and guide Patch as his parents. How do we keep him safe? Why won't he sleep? And how do we set him up for the future? So we've gathered a tribe around us, autistic adults, other parents, and experts who can help.
This is the podcast we wish existed when Patch was diagnosed on the autism spectrum as a toddler, which is where this story starts.
When Patch was a baby, he would lie in his cot and smile and laugh at the ceiling fan for hours and hours.
Yeah. Hi. Who's a cutie?
And it made me happy to see him so happy with his chubby cheeks and his gorgeous smile.
Of course, he loved the ceiling fans. We were living in the tropics and it was so hot.
Exactly. But when he was about 15 months old, a childcare worker came up to me and asked me if I was concerned about Patch's obsession with fans, as she called it, and how he didn't seem to want to be around the other kids. And I tried to brush it off. That's just Patch. But I was really worried.
I was really worried too. I remember a couple of weeks later I was doing pickup and Julie, I think her name was, repeated her concerns to me. And I'll never forget leaving the childcare centre with Patch, driving to your work feet and picking you up and the two of us bawling our eyes out, not knowing what to do next.
So Trav, this is where we sat in the car the morning that Patch was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. Just before he turned 2. And for years I couldn't actually drive past this spot without being taken straight back to that moment, just like now. It was the loneliest and most frightened I've felt in my whole life. And Patch was asleep in the car seat, oblivious to it all, you know, nothing had changed. And I had that going around in my head. He's the same child he was an hour ago, our little boy who we love more than anything.
I just felt like we'd lost so much control in our lives and it's just so much I would change now if I could go back in time. But I can't go back in time, but what I can do is continue to tell him how amazing he is because he's absolutely incredible. He's just had such a positive influence on our lives and he's like our teacher.
You okay now?
Yeah. It's actually good to come back here and get rid of some of those emotions, because I just don't feel this way now.
An autism diagnosis is really complicated.
Okay, to meet criteria, you need to meet the 3 criteria in the social and communication domain.
So the first criteria is the ability to be able to initiate a social interaction. So to be able to go up and approach people.
That's Professor Robin Young. She's a psychologist and works with a lot of autistic kids and adults. It took her more than 4 minutes to explain the criteria to us, so yep, it's confusing.
You will never meet two people on the autism spectrum who are the same. Being autistic means you have your own set of strengths, interests, and capabilities. It also means you could have a wide range and severity of challenges with communicating, socialising, obsessions, repetitive and restricted behavioural patterns, and how you experience the world through your senses. When Patch was diagnosed, the paediatrician told us we needed to relax. I'm not sure if he says that to all parents or if it's because we were firing 1,000 questions at him. Robin Young's experienced this from both sides.
I too am a parent, and I too have had a son go through the diagnostic process. I remember when my son was diagnosed with a language disorder when he was 2, I went home, crawled up in the fetal position and cried. Even though I knew the diagnosis was coming, it didn't help. And my husband came into the bedroom and said, oh, you can't cry, or you can't feel that way, or something ridiculous. And I told him to get out. I could feel that way, and tomorrow I would be active and proactive and work out what I needed to do. But for that point, I needed to grieve.
In those early days, all the professionals talked to us about grief. And it is something we went through.
And it's a really hard thing to talk about now, Fee, because that fear has gone. He's achieved so much and it's just the start. So now I think, what were we grieving?
Yeah, some imaginary child who would go through life never experiencing difficulties or challenges.
Maybe it was because that future seemed so unknown.
I explained to parents, this is the starting point. Now we know what's happening. Now we can move forward. This isn't the end. I try to tell them about other cases that I have of adults that have been successful and doing degrees in archaeology or computer science and so forth. So we know that if we've got the child early enough and we now know that intervention can be great, that we can do the best possible we can for this child to get him or her the best outcome we possibly can. And for that, it could be university. For others, children, it could be that they will be at home probably and need support for the rest of their life, but we want to make that a happy environment and we want to make it a happy environment for everyone in the home.
There are so many different types of therapy on offer, and evidence-based or not, there's no way of knowing what will work for your child. You're just so vulnerable.
I also had this anxious feeling of running out of time, of needing to do as much as possible. An early intervention at our house looked like 30 to 40 hours of therapy each week, with a revolving door of therapists teaching Patch to point, to talk, to use a spoon, to learn the alphabet and numbers and colours and match animal sounds and wave hello and goodbye.
Thank you. See you later.
Thanks very much.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
See ya.
And I'd feel so excited every time Patch would learn something new. And then we hit this period when the learning wasn't so obvious.
I'll never forget that meeting from around that time with the whole therapy team where we sat around and Patch was there and it was all about what he couldn't do. And you made an excuse, Trav, to leave, to get out of there.
I'll never forget it, Fee. It was just so horrible.
I felt like saying, this is my child and I want him to feel good about himself and I want him to know his strengths and to feel really positive about who he is. And what's the most important thing that's helped us with that? Reading and listening to autistic adults, because they could give us an insight into Patch's way of thinking when he wasn't able to communicate that yet.
Hi everyone, my name's Jeanette Perkis. I'm an autistic advocate and author. I live in Canberra in Australia with my little black kitty who goes by the name of Mr. Kitty. I'm also non-binary gender and asexual. I work in the public service. Life's pretty good for me at the moment, which is great.
Jeanette's asked us to use they and them as non-binary pronouns. Here's what they want parents to think about when your child is diagnosed.
I would like them to have the message that this is something to learn. This is an experience. This is a journey. Don't make any hard and fast decisions now. You will be getting information as a parent of a newly diagnosed child from loads of different places. Sometimes you'll get charlatans selling basically snake oil cures. You'll get autistic people giving you their opinions. You'll get other parents, you'll get other people in your life who know very little about autism but think they do. autistic people are not broken neurotypical people. We're valuable. We're who we are and we're fine as we are. And to focus on supporting that child to be them and to be the absolute best them that they can be, and that autism is not a curse or a tragedy or a burden. It is a difference. And yes, there are differences.
I wish I'd really heard this when Patch was two. I've learned there is no time limit on learning. The early intervention window comes and goes, and incredible growth still happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was diagnosed in 1994 when I was 20, and I think I was one of the first adults in Australia to get an Asperger's diagnosis, as it was back then. I was actually a prisoner at the time. Basically, I'd ended up with this very scary, exploitative, dangerous criminal boyfriend, and by the time I figured out quite how dangerous he was, I got in way too deep with him, and I felt if I left him, he would probably do something really permanent to me. So I was really trapped, and I ended up committing crimes with him and getting arrested. I was a very broken sort of person. I'd gone through a lot of bullying at school, and I really hated myself. I had no self-esteem. So that was the context. And there I was as a prisoner in late 1994. And a woman came up, and she was a psychologist, and she diagnosed me with this thing called Asperger's, and I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was just a diagnosis of being a nerd, and it took me 7 years to actually accept it. And the point at which I accepted it was really the point at which I accepted myself, and it was when I was going to university. And I thought, oh right, yes, that Asperger's thing, that's correct. And what an utter tragedy. I look at people now embracing themselves and how wonderful it is. And I just think, wow, I wish that had been my experience. But, yeah, I guess that's that story.
Listening to this makes me realise how important our job is when it comes to helping Patch embrace his identity.
Words make such a difference. Words matter. We know that. When people say, I'm sorry, when I tell them my son is autistic, it makes me mad. Or way back when I shared Patch's diagnosis with a friend and she asked, how bad is he? It was so hurtful.
Jeanette feels really strongly about the debate over whether you are autistic or have autism.
I've had people come up to me and tell me I shouldn't say I'm autistic and that I should say I'm a person with autism. Now, if you want to irritate me, that's the way to do it, because firstly, the reason a lot of autistic people use what we call identity first language, so I am autistic rather than I have autism, is because autism is an integral part of who we are. We can't actually separate it. If you have something, you can put it down and leave it and come back to it later. I can't do that with my autism. Also, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm quite happy to own it. I'm quite happy to be autistic. That's nice. But
a lot of people... Autism is a spectrum, and there is a shorthand that's developed to describe people.
The terms low functioning and high functioning. I find it really hard to hear those terms being used because people then jump to conclusions which are often wrong.
The kids who are called high functioning don't get any support because they're high functioning, so they don't need it, apparently. And the kids who are low functioning, apparently, don't get any expectation that they can do anything. They're just denied the chance to try anything new or take on a challenge.
Patch was probably about four when we started to talk to him about being autistic and being proud of this. But I know a lot of parents struggle with when to tell their child they are on the spectrum.
Tell them. Why wouldn't you? You know, it's an attribute. It's part of them. It's not a shameful secret. Just tell them. I don't think there's a blanket way you can tell a child that every child in exactly the same way. I think take your cues from your kid and tailor the conversation to what they would like. If you get preteens and teens, they're often completely well aware that they're autistic on some level. So it's not that hard a conversation because they've probably considered it as a possibility already. With younger kids, it can almost be easier because you can introduce it as part of their reality before they remember you telling them. So it will be in their mind, they have always known they're autistic. And I do find that can be quite a good thing for kids to know from forever.
It might feel like you're the first mum or dad to navigate this, but you're not. So what have other parents figured out that could help families in the days after diagnosis?
My advice would be to follow your sons, follow your daughter. Watch them, interact with them, and just follow whatever lead they give you and just follow it wholeheartedly.
A diagnosis of autism transformed my life, really. It gave it a compass that it perhaps previously didn't have. It provides a set of values and meaning and emphasis to our family that is really quite profound.
You know your child best. Don't let a professional tell you otherwise. And if you're not happy with what the professional tells you, shop around. Don't be afraid to say no and stand up for your child.
So you just sort of support him in what he needs, and he's a happy, healthy kid now. He's as I say, he's 21, and he's now doing driving lessons. So hopefully within a year or so, he'll have his licence. So that'll be a whole new world for him.
When we first found out, it felt like doom and gloom. And you know what? It's not. He's this amazing kid, regardless of whether he's on the spectrum or not. And if we can give him all the tools that he needs, then he's just, yeah, it's incredible. I love him to bits.
I think the most important thing I've learnt in the past 7 years has been to always presume competence.
I agree. There's a girl in New York, Emma, who has taught me so much about this. When Patch was first diagnosed, I read a blog written by her mum. It was raw and honest, and it made me cry and laugh. And now Emma's taken over the blog.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Emma's mom, Ariane.
And a lot about Emma reminds me of Patch, especially how she busts the myth that not talking means having nothing to say. I asked Emma how she communicates.
Should I answer that for you?
Yes.
Emma is a speaker, but not able to completely answer all questions through spoken language. It's changing. It's constantly evolving. So the speaking has gotten much, much better, right, Emma?
Yep.
You've been really working hard at that. But for the things that can't be said through spoken language, Emma types. Would you say that's correct, Emma?
Yeah.
Emma has typed all of her answers to the questions that you've sent us and has asked that I read them back.
Emma, how do you describe being autistic?
Emma wrote, how do you describe being human?
That's just the best answer.
Yeah, it really is. People assume Emma's mind doesn't work because her body doesn't obey her mind.
And Emma wrote, spoken language by those who find it natural to speak is thought of as of greater importance than any other form of communication. But for those of us who do not fall into that category, there are many ways in which we communicate all the time. Yeah. It's getting speaking people to become more aware of those ways that is a good goal to have.
She has this message for Patch and other children who struggle to express themselves through talking.
Keep going and know that we all continue to learn and grow. You are not wrong or broken. Do not let those messages become embedded in your brain.
Emma and Ariane sat down over 4 days to type all those answers. It's so impressive.
I can't tell you how much that means to me.
I'm so proud of Emma in just her being, just her temperament. Emma, you're one of the happiest people I've ever met. You're just lovely to be around, and it's a contagious kind of bliss that's so joyous and wonderful to witness and to be a witness to. I've never heard Emma say a mean or negative thing about another human being. I mean, just as a human being, Emma, you're one of the most beautiful human beings I've ever been in contact with. I guess those are a few of the most proud, but it's everything.
Patch knows he's autistic. And he knows it's a great thing. And he knows we're also super proud of him. Now it's just a matter of surrounding him with positive people and opportunities. And we'll continue to follow his lead, strengths and interests, and remind him of how awesome he is.
Patchy, Mum and Dad want to have a talk to you, okay?
What we want to say is that we're really, really proud of you and who you are becoming.
We've been talking to people all over Australia and all over the world who are autistic just like you.
Yeah.
And they're people who love travelling on trains and people who've written books.
And musicians.
Yeah, they love music just like you.
And even people that love bushwalking like you.
And they teach a lot of people. Yeah, and it's been so cool. And that's why we just want to tell you how proud we are of you and how excited we are about what you can do in your life.
And we want you to continue to do what you love doing.
And there's so many opportunities out there and we're so excited about helping you, Patch. We love you so much, sweetheart. You are amazing. You are incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Mwah.
Are you feeling happy?
Yes, yes.
Would you like to have another push on the go-kart?
Yes, yes, yes.
Fantastic. Ready?
Stuck. Woohoo! Off you go.
Whoa, we got stuck.
This is The Parenting Spectrum with Travis Saunders and Fiona Churchman, and guest appearances by Patch. Next time, we talk to autistic kids and adults about how they experience the world and what they wish people understood about autism. This series reflects the story and experiences of our family and the people we've interviewed. It should not replace professional advice for your child or individual situation.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.
Hi there, it's Fiona. This is just a note to tell you that since the recording and editing of this podcast was completed, Jeanette Perkis has changed their name to Yen Perkis.